T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome to another round of the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. For those not familiar, SDHAM is the morning show attached to the Soccer Down Here, the SDH Network, that is coming at you every single Monday through Friday, short of holidays, of course, from 9.05 a.m. traditionally until 11.05 a.m. Eastern Time. And yes, we do go over, and this past week we went over a lot because there was a lot to get into, a lot of guests that we got to have. And among our guests and pundits and friends, we get to cover everything going on in the world of soccer, what you might have missed in the overnight, what you're going to be facing in the normal of the afternoon, and then perhaps some of the other things that are going on in your evenings. And so we have that opportunity to kind of break out the day for you a bunch of different ways across the SDH Network and all of its platforms. It's live in its morning form on the SDH YouTube channel, on X, and on Twitch. And in addition, the individual podcast sections with our guests and friends and pundits, that ends up on your favorite podcatcher as well as on our app as well. And you can follow that up at Spreaker, and that's like speaker with an R in the middle every single day when we have shows in full and shows in segments that you can pay attention to every single time out. This time around, obviously, we've got opposition research. We're Atlanta United taking on Columbus Crew. We catch up with our friend Chris Doran, the play-by-play voice of the Columbus Crew, and get his thoughts on a team that's only scored once in a month. We find out what's going on after their hot start offensively to what's happening defensively as they get ready for Atlanta United. Then we catch up with a friend of the Atlanta United universe, and it's Rob Valentino. Rob now coaches the U-20s at the national level, and so we find out what it's like for Rob to travel down to Argentina and have a camp and find out what's going on with the U-20s, why this time was right for him, and what he's learning as a head coach on the national level. And then our final visit this time around, the unified season is coming up around the corner. We catch up with Marty Jellamy, the head unified coach for Atlanta United. We find out about the 25 season as he gets ready for 26. And there's some interesting changes that he has employed that we get to find out as well. But as always, first and foremost, it's Opposition Research Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Atlanta United and Columbus Crew, and that means one thing. We catch up with our friend Chris Doran, play-by-play voice of the Crew.
John, I love talking to you. Thanks so much for having me, and happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. Oh, what was your official subtitle for the segment that you had?
Oh, no, I'm not saying it. No. That was email and between you and I only.
Fair enough. Okay, so then let the Friday be good and or great, depending on your perspective. There we go. All right, so full disclosure, I think when I was growing up, I think I went to 13 different denominations.
My mom. Did you really?
Yeah, my mom was trying to figure out, okay, so where do we hear the voices the best? And let me see if I can remember them real quick. Okay, so Roman Catholic, Anglican, Episcopalian, Methodist,
wow.
Independent Methodist, Church of Christ, Church of God in Christ, Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Baptist, Southern Baptist, and that gets us to 11. Just off
wow.
The yeah. So she was just like, it's like, okay, where can we go? And it's just like, oh, it's Sunday. Therefore we go here. Yeah.
Right.
It literally was scattershot, but, go for it. What?
That's, I applaud people who are exploring. I was raised Catholic. And so in the email, I referenced what is common on, Holy Week, and the Stations of the Cross is a part of the Holy Week's celebration for Catholics. Mm-hmm. And I tied in crosses with our wingers.
Yes.
The Stations of the Cross with Max Arfston would be delightful, only because we'd like to see more crosses and more finishes like we saw against Toronto 2 weeks ago.
Yes, there we go. So so I wish I had my boy Paul Harvey hanging up here just a second. Well, hang on. Let me see if I can find Paul really quickly, because you know how things are on morning shows. We always have those drops, you know.
And yes.
I have one drop in particular. Oh, here we go. Here it is. I found it. So we got to go here, obviously.
Now you know the rest of the story.
That's our buddy Paul Harvey. So,
you know, you and I, and I don't know how old you are, but I'm
11 billion years old, sir.
Okay. Yeah. We were around in radio early on when Paul Harvey was it. I mean, people scheduled their entire days around Paul Harvey. Do you know that he came to Indianapolis one weekend to talk to the Farmers of America, Future Farmers of America? And we're an affiliate down in Bloomington, and I asked ABC if I could meet Paul Harvey and do a quick interview with him.
Okay.
And it could never be worked out. But they finally told me his private plane was landing in a hangar at Indianapolis International Airport. I get in the station van.
Paul Harvey, the private plane?
Yes. I get in the station van, I drive to the Indianapolis airport, I timed it out perfectly, got directions to the hangar. This was pre 9/11, so I had access to a lot of things. And you know, the car was pulling away. His limo drove past my van with the ABC logo on it. They stopped about 100 yards down the road. They motioned me to come forward. He stepped out of the limo, did a 10-minute interview with me. That's the God's honest truth, and I will have always respected him. Of course, he's passed away, but what a class act.
Far out. Man, see, now that these are the kind of stories that we have here with this kind of stuff. Man, I did not know that. That is massively cool. Literally from like 12:30 to 1 o'clock on your news talk stations, it was his big thing Monday through Friday. And so, so now I'm having flashbacks and I'll have that stuck in my brain all weekend long. The reason we brought you in is we always like to do opposition research, and we always like to talk Crew A, but opposition research fits this go around. When it comes to only scoring one goal in a month, what is now, I guess this might be cause and effect question. This might be looking at four goals in your first two matches and then getting figured out, all of the other things that are attached to it. So how do we go from four goals total in back-to-back games to one goal in a month to lead into today? How does this happen, sir?
Well, I think the focus was, first of all, defense. And so Henrik Rudstrom, the new head coach for the Columbus Crew, took the guys and said, look, we can't allow the counter to unfold the way it has unfolded against us in those first two games against Portland and Sporting Kansas City, because we were found, you know, in spots where we then had to, you know, get that third goal to either draw even or pull ahead. Typically, when you score two goals in a game, you have a better chance of winning. We weren't able to seal the deal in the first two games. So the focus really was on defense. Was it a complete sacrifice to what the attack was supposed to be about? No. But in that stretch, we also added Andres Gomez to the midfield. And that is a dynamic player who demands time with his teammates so that everyone understands what we're trying to accomplish. And I think that is what the story is for the last three games. The one disappointing piece to it, John, is that the two guys who scored in the first two games of the season did not have shots on target in the last three games of the season.
Wow. Okay.
And so we're finding ourselves now, I don't know what the phrase is, you're giving a little and you're taking a lot on the other side. We want to see that attacking sequence become more mature. April is the time to do it. And my understanding is over the last couple of weeks during this break, there has been a bigger focus on building the attack in the midfield and into the final third.
When you look at the starting lineup last time out against Toronto, it was Schulte in net, Amundsen, Zawadzki, Moreira, and Herrera, your back four. And this is going just off of the graphic, not going in-game. You know, the second the whistle blows, then things change and everything.
Sure.
Midfield listed as Arvidsson, Gomez, Dylan, and Diego, and then Wes and Taha Habrun up top. I'm anticipating slash imagining that in offensive sets, you probably turn the volume dial to the left one click, and then that means that Diego comes forward out of this alleged 4-4-2 as I'm looking at a picture. So, you know, Rossi comes forward. It's three in the attack, at least down the middle. Then you have your center backs bombing and all this kind of stuff. Am I off here in looking at things?
No, you're not. Diego had 16 goals last year. Unfortunately, coming from the wing is probably not going to be a way for him to duplicate that effort this year, because he came right up the middle. He was the catalyst for most of what we generated last season. And Wessam Abu Ali needs quality service. He's going to make those diagonal runs and get between the center backs when we play against a back four, and he'll have those tight gaps. Rossi has got to be the one who puts those center backs on their heels, tracking back to goal, and then find Abu Ali in the space. So I don't know that that lasts too long. And Henrik Rudstrom said as much this week. He said, look, Diego Rossi needs to be in a place where he can be successful, where he can find success. And coming from the flank like that is probably not going to be a long-lasting experiment. I think it's just a matter of finding out where the combinations are going to work best. And him working with Andres Gomez in the middle is probably top of the leaderboard right now when you look at potential success. So Abu Ali and Rossi were the two guys who didn't have shots on target in the first two, in the last three games. We just got our first cross from the outside from Max Arfston or Andres Herrera and scored a goal. And that was against Toronto. I don't know why I'm saying Abu Ali. Abu Ali did not figure into the SOT stat because obviously he scored that goal against Toronto. But the point is that we need more from the flanks, we need more from Max, and we need more from Andres Herrera. Now, Herrera is playing a little deeper this year. Last year, he had 5 goals, 8 assists from the outside. He started every game ever since League's Cup. He hasn't had any contributions to goal in these first 5 games. I feel like you need something from that side.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure how coach is going to get it, but the thing is, we look at this roster, how talented it is, and we look at the staff and we say, absolutely, these guys know what they're doing. It's just a matter of it all sinking together. And I know it's requiring patience from the supporter base, but the time is going to come. It has to come, but the time is going to come. And I think it's going to be this month.
And you mentioned very similar things here with patience from the supporter base is needed and things like that. I may circle back to that and bookmark it. It seems like from what you're just what you're trying to break things down. It's like Rossi is better when he comes inside. Wes comes inside. But if you had both of those happening, you end up with bumper cars with two guys trying to do the same thing and try to benefit from being in the same spot. And that creates collisions and you know, the things aren't, you know, as easy as you'd like for them to be because folks are better doing things this way. But right now, as you mentioned, Rossi's on the outside and he literally is the outside, the guy who's on the outside looking in when he's at a deficit position when it tries to create, because, you know, once again, if you're coming in here, I see collisions happening and it's like bumper cars at you know, Six Flags, Mid-America.
Yeah. In fact, there isn't, from my recollection, as much combination play with Abu Ali and Rossi when Rossi's coming from the outside. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's by design. Maybe that's what they're looking for. Maybe they want that to come through the middle. But I do think that it will serve the team as we grow the spine of the squad. We focused on defense and now focusing on the attack. The middle really has to be well cared for. And I think there are plenty of opportunities to do that with the talent we have on the roster.
Our buddy Chris Doran hanging out with us for Oppo Research. That's the poli sci guy in me coming out. It's Oppo Research. I feel like it's like West Wing or something. Defensively, this seems like when Rydstrom came in, it was somewhat Wilfred Nancy adjacent, you know, nothing too completely off the rails defensively. When you've been looking at this after those first two matches, obviously, we talked about the sacrifice coming last month, but the defense seems to have pretty much hung it together, and they're in lockdown mode right now.
Yeah, and I think a large part of that has to do with the way Patrick Schulte's playing. You know, he came out of 2025 having dealt with the injury late in the playoff stretch of the season last year, was playing more like he played in 2024, and that was a positive. He entered 2026. Good frame of mind, knows he's got the national team call up that he's hoping for, didn't get, but then got because of Roman Celentano in Cincinnati pulling back on the invitation to join the national team for these last two friendlies. And Schulte's been very, very good. The return of Rudy Camacho's been solid. Malta Amundsen is just ultra reliable. And so too is Steven Moreira, who's back from international duty this week. So, you know, I think you've got a pretty solid core. Zawadzki started in the center back role against Toronto, and that was a coach's decision, and then Rudy came on later. Zawadzki will fit anywhere in the back. I personally would love to see a true four-back system with Moreira and Amundsen on either side of Camacho and Zawadzki, and let the midfield do its creative work in a 4-3-3. But, you know, I'm not calling the shots. I think the talent is there, both on the coach's side as well as on the roster, and I think it's all going to pan out. It, as I said, and I've done it three times now, April's got five regular season MLS games. Mm-hmm. John, when we're done with April, we are about a third away from the finish of the regular season.
Crazy.
And we're only 2 months into it.
I know.
If you're still fighting at a 13th place in the East, then something drastic is going to happen in the July transfer window. So I think a lot of these guys are probably thinking to themselves, you know, let's be patient. Let's follow through. But let's make sure we get the job done.
Have there been, in your view, any pleasant surprises from insertions into the lineup taking over? Because I know that Wes had to deal with injuries early in that kind of recovery. Have there been any surprises for you that have popped up here in the first handful of matches this year?
Not really. Okay. You know, I'm looking at the same guys we've seen over the last couple of years. You know, we had a dozen guys end 2025 who were a part of that 2023 MLS Cup. So a lot of the guys are familiar. They're in my estimation, and again, it's just an amateur estimation, but, you know, fulfilling the promise. Schulte's the bright spot simply because he came out of the offseason and is really still building his game and showing that. I love the addition of Andres Gomez in the midfield. I think, you know, he was 60 minutes fit coming into the first game of this that he played in the season, which was the home game against Chicago, has built minutes ever since. I don't know that he's going to be a 90-minute guy. Maybe he is. But I really want to see things bloom out of him when it comes to the attack.
when, and the reason that I ask is because of the new faces that we see, you know, and they're only getting cups of coffee right now in the first handful of games. You know, Bongura getting a handful of minutes against Toronto. Akinzadze only getting a handful of minutes against Toronto. You know, Hugo Picard comes in for Max and gives you 10. Hobrun, whom we've seen from our time with Crew 2 and knowing what's going on with him, now he's getting regular reps. So that was why that question popped into my head, because of these cups of coffee that you're getting from folks off the bench, and I didn't know how they were contributing, even though it's not showing up on the score sheet.
Yeah, it's not, and in some cases, not even showing up in the way of subs. Coach was pretty limiting in his choices off the bench in a couple of games, and in large part, it was because guys like Wesse Mabueli is getting 90 minutes, you know, and really is threatening. We are seeing, I think, the flashes of what the coaches expected from Sekou Bengura. Jamal Thiaré is, you know, he kind of breaks things up. He's good on the ball. He definitely wants to go forward. Yes. He hasn't gotten the ball in a lot of great spots in the time that he's been on the field. But it's nice to see him change up the rhythm of a game that has been slowed by a tactically sound defensive posture of the opposition. So I like being able to pull a player like that off the bench. Dylan Chambeau is back from injury, and he's just so graceful with the ball. You start to run into a few problems when it comes to whether or not you want to put Dylan in, you want Taha in, who plays a little more forward, or you want to put Hugo Picard in, who was a regular starter for a long time in his short period with us last year, but never generated any numbers in terms of goal contributions, and that always surprised me. He's got a couple of shots on the season. They didn't really have much on them, so he's not that guy, but he's the final pass guy, and he just hasn't been able to complete the final pass yet.
Yep, Jamal Thiaré definitely is like the Jeff Goldblum character in Jurassic Park. He is a chaotician. I will grant you that. What concerns Columbus the most about Atlanta coming into this weekend?
I don't know that we're ready to even look at opponents and be honest with ourselves about what they bring to the table and how we have to compete. We haven't gotten to the state that we want to be in yet in a flowing game. You know, the fact that you're playing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it's always a great crowd. And the atmosphere is terrific. The guys love it. You know, I think supporters would be surprised to hear that even opposing players love to go to stadiums on the road that have terrific atmospheres. And I think Mercedes-Benz Stadium ranks very high on that list. So I think the guys are looking forward to the challenge. They've had 2 weeks to think about that loss up in Toronto. And so getting over that hump is probably the thing that they desperately want to do. And doing that with the style of play that they know they can play by creating chances and then finishing those chances is important. Last time we were in your stadium, 5 goals in 35 minutes, thanks to Wesse Mabueli, Daniel Gazdag, and Diego Rossi. Well, Gazdag hasn't played 3 games. I mean, he hasn't come off the bench in 3 games, John. And so there are questions that remain about where his contribution is going to fall in this season too.
I find that's interesting and comforting and confident all at the same time, that Columbus right now is focusing on itself. And it's like, we're going to orchestrate, we're going to figure out what we need to do. We'll be okay is the vibe that I'm getting. We'll be okay once we sort it out. We're still sorting it out. We're still growing. And like I said, I think there are parallels here between these two clubs where we know where we're going. We just need everybody to be patient. And then when we're all comfortable, then we'll be okay. So this seems like there's almost like holding up a mirror with these two clubs right now.
Well, and it could very well be. I'm sure Tata Martino coming back for Atlanta is thinking to himself, this is not the same group. This is the same challenge, however. And I know he's added some pieces, and it should be very interesting. I know our guys are anxious to try the synthetic, the natural grass field at Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
I should point out that Steven Moreira with Cape Verde will play one of his World Cup group stage games in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So he's doing some recon this weekend. He's going to take pictures of the field and send it to his buddies so that everyone gets a review of what that field is like. And I'm sure it'll be different when we get to June. But it looked good in the U.S. games over the last week or so.
Yeah, they have put up the pink lights, and they've figured out. We've talked to actually some of the grass doctors that are in charge of FIFA, and they're like, yeah, we got to do this for like 11 of the 16 stadia. We've got to have the pink lights, and they've got to be up. And we're figuring out, okay, the distance between the lighting grid and the ground. We've got to figure out how long they've got to be on. We got all this temperature stuff. I didn't know there was this much having to do with indoors and curating grass. It's just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when they open the roof, when the sun shines down, but that certainly is not enough sunlight to get that full field to be growing. The grow lights are run by computer. It is fascinating to see. We have the same thing at Scott's Miracle-Gro Field, and I truly admire the grounds crews who handle those pieces of equipment.
All right, before we get into the blatant plug about how folks can listen on your side of things, not just this weekend, but all the way around, I'm seeing a lot of buzz about the NWSL in Columbus, Ohio. What's been the vibe attached to that?
Well, everyone's excited. The Haslam Sports Group, the Edwards family, and Nationwide, which celebrates 100 years this week and is the big employer and, of course, call Columbus their home base, have all pulled together their efforts to get the 18th franchise for the NWSL to land in Columbus. It's a giant campaign. You can sign the petition at NWSLTOCBUS.com and be a part of the effort. I think it's fascinating. They'd love to build a new training facility for the NWSL club and then have that club play their games at Scott's Miracle-Gro Field in the Arena District. So we'd have two teams residing at Scott's Miracle-Gro Field. It would be fantastic. I think the growth of women's soccer, as we saw with Denver over the weekend and the way it was received in their first home game, the Summit, certainly has done everything right in the way of launching their franchise. And we're certain and confident that we can do the same in Columbus.
Digging that. That's very, very cool. All right. Give me the plug, if you would, please, sir, so how folks can listen to your dulcet tones and all of the imagination and all the storytelling that happens every single time.
Well, I'll tell you, I know there's a great history between Atlanta and Miami when it comes to playoff stories the last 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I just want to call attention to a show that I did this past week that you can get on iHeartRadio as a podcast, Inside the Crew. Before Lionel Messi, arrived in Columbus or arrived in Miami, there were two other Argentines that I think you need to be aware of. Gonzalo Higuain, of course, came over from Europe. His brother, Federico Higuain, who was a longtime Crew player, still leads the club in assists and penalty kicks converted, joined him for his final season as a professional soccer player, and the two of them played in Miami. I did an interview with Federico Higuain just this past week because he is the Crew 2 head coach, and he continues to transition not just from playing but growing his coaching acumen so that one day he can be a first-team head coach. But the stories he tells and the passion he has for the game, I think you'd expect from an Argentine, but it is phenomenal. Inside the Crew is online. Get it at iHeartRadio and find our broadcasts on iHeartRadio too. I'm on X at ChrisDoran18. Love to hear from you anytime.
As always. And so, of course, since it is the end of this particular segment, you know I have to do this considering our conversations.
Good day.
There you go. There's your Paul Harvey to get out. As always,
thank you, brother.
Great to see you, and we'll catch up with you soon. It's always fun to have you batting leadoff.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Always great to catch up with Chris and find out what's going on in the Columbus universe. And even when Atlanta United is not playing Columbus Crew, it's always great to catch up with Chris and find out what's going on in his part of the world. You are listening to the best of SDHAM. John Nelson here with you. And it is now time for someone that Atlanta United fans know very well and kind of keep an eye on. And it was a great opportunity for us to catch up with Rob Valentino and find out what it's like for him now to be a U.S. men's national team coach. We thought we woke him up early. We did, but he was already awake. Here's our conversation very, very early on an SDHAM where he was in Phoenix, just back from Argentina. So technically, when we bring in this guest, it's opening kickoff. And it is great to see our friend Rob Valentino. You're in Phoenix?
Yeah, currently in Phoenix. By way of Argentina to Houston to eventually get here. So,
and so what time of the morning is it, sir?
Right now it's 6 a.m. in Phoenix.
Oh, my.
It would have been 10 a.m. in Argentina.
Oh, okay. So it would have been 10 and you got home. And so I'm waking you up at the crack of before dawn to come on here to be the leadoff hitter at 9 o'clock Eastern time in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's it. There's no better way.
Oh, man. First off, thanks for getting up this early. I feel kind of guilty now that you're in Arizona and it's like 3 hours behind and it's 6 o'clock in the morning to get you to do this interview, man.
No, it's a pleasure. It's always good to see those familiar faces from Atlanta.
All right. So I'll go ahead and ask. So how was Argentina with the time with the U-20s? Went down there for a little bit. How was it and what did you learn?
Yeah, it was a fantastic experience. I think anytime we've been going on these camps and going to the different countries, experiencing their cultures, competing against either national teams or local professional teams have been really good. I really loved it because we've had so many players from Argentina in the past, and I've never been to their country and actually sat there and experienced it. So that was first and foremost, that was like kind of part of it, being in their culture and maybe remembering all the players that we had in Atlanta. And we got to see an old familiar face in Thiago Almada at their training facility and compete against Argentina, which was a very tough challenge. We introduced new ideas to the players, and the mindset of the individuals that we had with us was really good, from staff to players, was awesome. So a lot of learning, a lot of growing, sometimes suffering at times. We talked about that. It can't always be that we're going to be the dominant team. And we ended with two good results, but ultimately it's about what we learned from the process of what we're doing with, whether it's this camp or going into the next camp, and what these kids are doing at their clubs as well.
I want to ask about your timetables when it comes to these things a little further down the line, but everybody talks about the U.S. way. When we've had coaches come in and they're representing various national teams of various age levels, there's always that the U.S. way that is this underpinning about everything. When I mention that to you, what does that mean to you in your day-to-day there with the U's on the men's side?
Yeah, it's for me, it's still a work in progress of learning everything that they've done to build it. Like, I'm a newcomer coming in to their environment. So it's about understanding what has gone on before me, how I can use my experiences to hopefully elevate some things. Ultimately, it's about having a clear language and a clear process of how we see where you can help maximize or accelerate development in these individuals. We understand that the players will spend more time in their club environments. There's no doubt about that. But we want to be making sure that we can be a platform to help them, whether it's through a national, playing an international opponent, whether it's playing a professional team. We want to use these camps to hopefully accelerate their development and have that collaboration with the clubs, that we are all on the same page. We want these players to get the most out of both experiences, whether they're with us and they go back and they kick on and get first team appearances, or they come into our environment and they are challenged, hopefully with new ideas and different ways of playing, and test their learning abilities.
What was it about a national team job that attracted you? Because, you know, we'll sit there and in the old days when there were newspapers, you know, you'd sit there, you go to the back and there's the transactions page, and you sit there and it's like, oh, Rob Valentino, you know, U.S. men's national. And how did that come to pass, and why now at this point of your career?
I mean, there's no better honor than representing your country. I was able to do it three times as a youth. And when you put the shirt on, and like when I wear the crest, like I have immense honor, and I'm just grateful for the opportunities when you get to wear it. And being an American and trying to hopefully pass that along to the youth that are coming through, that was one part of it. From the soccer standpoint and the job standpoint, I constantly want to learn and grow. And this is an environment that is exactly that. You know, with all the coaches that I have around us, whether it's on the women's side, men's side, the resources that there's here to help me grow, I thought it was, for me, a no-brainer. And we have so much, the good and the bad part is that you have so much time in between, that you have time to reflect on camp, reflect on your processes, reflect on trainings, communication, leadership. And on the other side is that you can sit with that for a while in between camps. Whereas on the club side, you're go, 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 and you fix on the fly. Yeah, you have a process of what you're doing, but ultimately you're working towards the weekend or even a midweek game to fix and correct things as they go. I do love the high pace of that, but also when you get in camp, you get a little feel of it. So there was multiple things that attracted me to it. Ultimately, like, the people that I work with are what makes the difference.
You mentioned learning about processes and the ins and outs of it. What have you learned about yourself? How different are you now, or are you different and just learning, I guess?
Yeah, look, I'm still the same person. But I think if you ever sit there and go, I know it all, I'm good, I don't need to learn anything different. The framework of Rob is the same. Like, I am still the same type of person. I still care about the same things. But there's different people that I come in contact with here that have had different experience in a national team environment, and we're able to test things, try different training exercises, talk about individual developments and processes that we can put in place that, if I were to go back to a club environment, how do we input that? How do we show the individual attention to these players in a team format and ultimately try to get wins still? I think I also have this perspective now when I do have these communications with clubs, is that I understand what they're going through. And now I see it on this side of the differences. So to have this experience to say, okay, this is what a national team environment is like. This is what a club environment is like. What are my processes that can translate? What are processes that maybe don't translate? I think ultimately, like just like I said before, learning from other people and putting structure to a lot of things, that's been a big part of my learning. That's been one thing that I've been emphasizing on.
Our old friend Rob Valentino hanging out with us here batting leadoff on the morning show. And you mentioned the gaps and the camps and the gaps and the camps. Do you like the idea of going to Argentina, going home, taking that dossier of information that's probably about 2 or 3 inches thick, or might be on a flash drive these days? I'm 900 years old, so that's why I said it's, you know, big old dossier of notepads and things. Do you like the idea of a camp and then kind of analysis and then going into another camp? Or is it, you know, is it kind of an odd duck where instead of being in day-to-day and doing it in a team environment in a professional franchise, I guess, discuss the differences, I guess. Do you like the idea of having that time to regroup and recalibrate after a camp like this?
I'll tell you who really likes it. It's my family. They love the go away and then you come back and you're here and you're present. It's been a work in progress for me. So when I've gone into the first one and I come back, like there's those 2 or 3 days when you finish and it's intense when you're there and the travel when you come back and you're tired. But then ultimately, like I really miss the players. I miss the staff. I miss that day to day. Like that's what brought me so much joy in Atlanta and all the places is being with these people every day. But on the other flip side, like I said, you have time now to reflect and think, okay, what went well? What could we improve on? Evaluate individuals, talk about how we can be better as a staff. So I'm finding my way. I'm finding my groove and how it all works and keeping myself busy and in between of having that reflection post-camp, then moving forward throughout those in-between periods of what's next camp going to look like, but also in between, you know, whether it's different projects or different development pieces for myself and other staff members.
Are you officially in that rhythm of being a national team coach, or are you still trying to adjust to up, down, up, down, up, down? Have you hit your rhythm yet, do you think?
A little bit. I think I found a little bit of consistency of what that looks like. I keep telling people, they're like, oh, what's the differences or what do you miss? And I said, look, I miss the day-to-day for sure. I don't miss being as tired as all these other coaches are because I know what it's like. Like you wake up, you play a game, you wake up the next morning and you don't get another day off or you get maybe an afternoon off. I don't miss that part, but I have found some rhythm and some normalcy to it. And yeah, it's great. I mean, that's like I said before, like the honor of representing our country, nothing better than that.
When you have questions, whether it's about the day-to-day or being in a national team environment, do you have folks on your speed dial that you can sit there and, you know, like hit like one or two buttons and it's like star so-and-so and that individual pops up and they'll answer questions about where you are right now? Do you have that kind of a speed dial that's attached to your cell phone these days?
Yeah, I mean, my boss, Barry Powell's our head of development. He's been a massive mentor to me, a fantastic person. Somebody that I can really lean on, and he's been somebody that for sure I go to. All the other youth national team coaches, we lean on each other, so they're for sure people that I try to have those conversations with. Outside of that, I wouldn't say I've been in contact with them a lot, but when I do have conversations with like Mike Ivaris, for instance, at San Diego, he's been in my shoes. We were old college teammates. He's given me some advice. Marco Mitrovic, that's now in New England, we were in the job together for a little bit and developed a relationship. So there's people like himself, Pat Noonan at Cincinnati. He had been in with the senior team and now he's done a fantastic job at Cincinnati. And so we've more recently been in contact about those things. So sometimes I wouldn't say maybe it's I got exactly the same people on speed dial, but sometimes those contacts, all of a sudden they reach out and it's just at the right time when you need it most. So I'll be honest, the other person is Brad Guzan. Yeah. Okay. We sit together every Tuesday, Thursday to watch our sons train. And I pick his brain, whether he knows it or not. I pick his brain about what it meant to him to represent the country and how I can take little bits of his experiences with the national team, his experiences in general. And we tell jokes, yes, all the time. But he's another person that I'm able to sit down face-to-face with.
So when you have Luca Bombino come into a camp, does Mikey call you up and sit there and go, yo, Rob, take it easy on him a little bit. I need him in the Western Conference here. Is that what you get from coaches these days? It's like, I know you need him for camp, but can you kind of dial him back a little bit? Or can you dial him up a little bit because I need him ready for the next phase? Do you get those conversations?
Yeah, we try to have communication with all the clubs if there's ever a concern or questions on what's going on with where they're at in their rhythm of games. We all want the best for the players. So we think that, again, can we help put them in an environment where they don't get this game all the time? You know, you use Luca as an example. He's played a ton of minutes. And so, you know, there's communication if he's not able to come in, the reasons why. But other players, yeah, we try to make sure we give everybody opportunity when they come to these camps, that we're not leaving players to play no minutes and travel. So we try to balance that with also being competitive and then making sure they go back in the best condition so that they can perform at the optimal speed that they're used to.
One of the really cool things that I noticed when the roster was announced and you were heading down to Argentina was just the variety of locations that you were pulling athletes from, because yeah, you're pulling from MLS, and I think it was nine different franchises that were repped, but you had Charleston Battery represented in USL Championship. You had UCLA being represented in the college game. I think it speaks to where the game is growing and the fact that you have a camp where it's not just all Major League Soccer. You're getting folks who are playing overseas that are coming all the way back, that are tied to Serie A clubs and things like that. I just thought that was really interesting to see the development of where things are, especially with your roster that you just had, to where it's not just one source anymore. It's coming from a bunch of different places and a bunch of different divisions and levels here.
Yeah, I think it, for me in my group, is really important to understand these kids are 2006 born. And so now we have single age group all the way from U15 through to eventually it'll be called the U23s. Right now they're the U21s. And so we're really trying hard to keep the 2006 born kids in the single age group. The 2007s will go through qualifying. So we're trying not to pull out of that roster up. Like, whereas in your head, you're thinking, okay, what's the next best young one? Can we push them up? We're trying to keep them in their right development process. Those kids will go through qualifying for the World Cup. These kids right now, they're working in a cycle where they have a non-World Cup, that U20 World Cup just finished. Now they're going to eventually, hopefully in 2 years' time, their next big event will be the Olympics. So I've looked at it as, in this process now, where can we see talent? And there's, in the last camp, we had injuries over different positions. So you start to develop a roster of what you think of, having consistency, because I think that's important for a team to go and perform. But also looking at multinationals that feel like they want to represent America, looking at untapped college kids, looking at players playing in USL. I think there's a lot of value in playing in a men's league and playing professional minutes. So, and there's guys in MLS Next Pro that come into our environment that maybe haven't got a chance with the first team, but they have a lot of talent. And when their opportunity does come, whether it's at the club they're currently at or whether they make a move, that some of these kids are ready for that next level. And I just want to, like, it's such a big country. I don't want to miss a player. I want to make sure that there's a chance that we have had eyes on people. And when I always tell them when they get in, like, whether they're here because they got a late call up or they were the first call up, they're here for a reason. And I've got a strong belief in whoever we do bring in. And that doesn't mean that they always get to come into every camp, but there's a belief there that hopefully we can have an impact on them that can take them back to their clubs and push them along in their career.
How much research are you doing when it comes to filling out rosters and keeping track of, you know, 9,000 different players that you could have as a part of this? How much of this is research and maintaining information about the folks that you could bring in camps?
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge learning curve for me going into this job. And we lean a lot. I mean, there's so much resource here with US Soccer. We've got a massive talent ID department. There's managers in different regions, and they've got scouts from there that go and watch games. And then there's the lead on the talent ID. And so we have weekly calls. So as soon as I would say up to speed of the whole 2006 age group, which is, I would say, always evolving and you're always finding somebody new. We have weekly calls where we have updates, whether it's post camp or whether it's just weekly throughout the time period in between camps, where if there's a new discovery or maybe there was a player that had dips in performances, now they've started regain form. So I lean on those people a lot. Yeah, they're watching games constantly. And then when they come in our environment, I can then transmit that back to them, what they're like as a person, what their training habits are like, what they're like in the game, what were they like in the meal rooms. Like, we have a different touch point with that than maybe those guys do when they're watching games on video or out at the field. So that was the thing I was probably most interested in, is our country's huge. We've got multinationals, kids that are playing in Europe, South America, wherever they're playing, and how do we find them all? We'll miss. But I was going to say it's not going to be from lack of trying. So in the in-between time, I try to watch as many of the kids as I can, ones I'm familiar with to see if they're continually performing, and new ones to see where somebody else can get a new opportunity.
How many streaming services do you have? How much Huddle do you have to watch?
Yeah, I mean, we have one platform, Huddle Y Scout, that helps a lot with that. And if there's ever something we don't have, we have resources that we can reach out to the clubs to hopefully get video. But it's a one-stop shop right now.
I like how you say resources. I'd like to have your resources, sir. All right, so you're back from Argentina. You're hanging out in Arizona. What's the next camp/activity for you?
Yeah, so we have June window, June 1st through 9th. We don't have a location yet, but that'll be the next one right before the World Cup, the Senior World Cup happens. So in this in-between time, it's about watching players, evaluating how they perform. Hopefully they're ready for opportunities. That's what we touched on as we left Argentina, being ready, having that belief in themselves. And then developing as a coach and reflecting on camp. Like I said, I just got back yesterday. I was trying to open the laptop. Well, my eyes were kind of nodding off there, but we'll have a real reflection process with myself, some of the staff that were with me. Like I talked to some Barry, he'll help me with that. He was there with me. So we'll have a real reflection on what worked, what didn't work. And we'll have time in between to work until June.
And we will be keeping an eye on things. It's great to see you, my friend. I'm glad that we got to catch up and get this new update on the resume now that you're the Globetrotter and getting miles and points in places like Argentina and having to get up at 5:30 in the morning to do an interview here in Atlanta from where you are in Phoenix. Great to see you. If you ever want to just come in and crash, I got something I got to say. You now know how you can come into the morning show. You sit there, it's like, I'm crashing on a Friday. I got to get something off my chest. My coffee's not working and I need a solution. So you can come in at any time. It'll always be great to see you. Vent your spleen, come in and say hi, and just go get like cup number 2 of coffee, and we'll see you soon, my friend. Great to see you.
All right. Thank you so much, John. Great to see you as always.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get 2 phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Great to catch up with Rob and find out what's going on, obviously, as we pay attention to him from a national team perspective now, as his time with Atlanta United, a lot of folks remember, and they want to know what's going on with the next stage of his life. We now know, and he gets up very, very early Phoenix time, or very, very early Phoenix time, which is normal time on the East Coast, to get his day started on the national team level. Very cool to catch up with Rob. You are listening to the best of STHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. Guest number three. The Unified program for Atlanta United is one of the top programs in Major League Soccer. Marty Jellamy is the head coach of the Atlanta United Unified team, and it is a team that a lot of folks are gunning for in Major League Soccer. So we find out about the 25 season, the new frontiers that were attacked there, and we get ready for the 26 season, and we find out some new twists to the philosophy with the Atlanta United Unified team. Here's our conversation with Marty Jellamy. And it's always fun to catch up with our friend Marty Jellamy, the head coach, the Atlanta United Unified team. We get the preview 2026. Marty, what is up?
Hey, how you doing? Looking forward to it.
Question is more for you than it is for me. And as you see here next to the boss, you're right here. There's the rolled up scarf because
I love it.
Well, because she had to reinforce the line that has to hold the drapes up because I had too many winter scarves up here, Marty, and the line started to sag. And so she had to reinforce the line with the curtains. And so she had to do like a double curtain rod back here. So not everything fell. And so she got real imaginative and has put you front and center here over my left shoulder.
I love it. Maybe we'll add a few more winter scarves by the end of the season this year.
Ooh, I dig that. That's pretty cool. I like that idea. We will obviously show them off as well as we can. When you look back at the 25 season, so we'll go backward before we come forward. When you look back at the 25 season, what sticks in your mind about the experience and the new frontiers and the new places and the players and all that kind of stuff that you got to experience with the unified team and what everybody got to experience. What sticks in your mind that you're carrying with you from 25?
Speed is one. Our team is super, super competitively fast compared to almost everybody else. And we haven't really utilized that in the past. So a little teaser for going forward, you know, but we'll just leave that at that for now. Traveling and stuff like that's been just amazing. The first team's always great. They're so open to our players and things along that line. So it makes it so, so much better. And I think Atlanta does such a better job than a lot of the other clubs. New places to go, which is great. A lot of the kids hadn't been places that we were last year. So, and especially now, the Houston trip was just, what a great week. I mean, what, 5 or 6 games, came back with a cup. The learning that went on at that week, you know, because we were in a dorm by ourselves. I mean, I can't even tell you the experiences and the life skills that a lot of our players learned on that trip. And let me tell you, it was exhausting. By the end of the week, for some reason, we got stuck with the morning game every day except the last one. So we were up at like 6 or 5:30, didn't even have breakfast any morning till the last day because we were always the first ones on the pitch. So what a great week. I mean, it was amazing.
I mean, when they knocked on your door for that tournament, and this was a tournament that had worldwide participation. I mean, this was like you're getting folks from Europe to be over and be a part of this, to be a part of the genuine World Cup that happened last July. And I mean, it's like the Netherlands, it's Ajax, it's Tigres, it's Inter Milan. I mean, it's
Rangers, Newcastle.
I mean, who crazy. Else? What, Tarragona, Valencia, Benfica, Sporting Club.
Yeah, Australia was there. We had a team from Australia who was there. I mean, one of the coolest things was we're sitting there and we hear it in the United States, but not as much when you get the chants going, right? And they're chanting back and forth at the stadiums, especially down in Mexico and things like that. The lunchrooms, you would walk in and literally you would have 3 clubs in there, La Tigres, and I can't remember the other two. And they're screaming at the top of their lungs, chanting. One would chant, then the next one would chant, the next one would chant. I mean, it was like being in a stadium at dinner time. It was just unbelievable. And to see the spirit and all that from some of those other clubs, it was just great. Great.
When you're in an environment like that, what's it like for you as someone who has been at the front of this movement with Atlanta United to see other unified teams from not just the North America, but around the world? You know, when we were growing up, you know, you'd go to summer camp and you'd have, you know, time where you'd sit there and you spend time in the stereotypic cabin. You get up at 6:30, you're learning how to kayak and all those kinds of things. This kind of a summer camp, to me, seems incredibly invaluable because of what you learn about yourself as an athlete, as a student athlete, as a person, and even for the adults in the room, you get to learn about yourself not just as a coach, but as an adult. This seems like one of those multi three-dimensional kind of learning experiences for everybody.
Oh, totally, and especially because MLS kind of has a different philosophy compared to most of the other groups around the country, like. We primarily play unified. Mm-hmm. And the way that MLS looks at unified is the inclusion part going, you know, we want to bring those high school and college kids in, get them exposed to our players and be able to take that back out into society. And then when they go to school, they meet the kids or they're at the mall and all those interactions start happening. Most of the other world, when it comes to this, it's straight players. It's not unified. So their philosophy is, wait a minute, if you've got 20 kids, they should be 20 kids with disabilities no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things. It was definitely a tug between coaches because, like, I particularly like the Unified. I understand both, but I like the Unified because it's the exposure and growing the influence of sports and things like that in the community, where if you don't have that Unified part, I think you miss out on a lot of that. Cause it's just my opinion, but the rest of the world doesn't think that way for the most part. When it comes to clubs, they want strictly players. So that was a big learning experience, and a learning experience as a team, because now our team had to play without partners, which took us at least two matches to get the hang of it. Cause it's a totally, cause now they've got to grind a little bit more. They're the ones getting, not that they're not grinding in the matches that we play, but they've got to totally make all their own actions, where now they can rely on the partners a little bit. So it was great. I mean, it was an interesting philosophy.
This is the question where we go, I guess, Unified 101. When it comes to playing with partners, if you would, for those that might just kind of know casually about Atlanta United Unified and they know that matches happen, they might hang out after a match, a first team match to watch a Unified match. What are some of the differences and the nuances that are there when it comes to the Unified matches that folks will get to see?
So the way that we play, and it's not the way that all the MLS teams play, is our Unified partners, which are players without disabilities versus our players with disabilities, are there to facilitate the game. They are not there to score. They are there to get the ball, do the pass, and then have our other players move the ball forward, do the scoring and all that. Our partners don't shoot for the most part until another team shoots on us and scores. Our partners are like, we want our players to be the focus. We want them to have all the glory, and they'll feed them the whole time. Okay. So that is a little bit of a difference compared to our team versus other clubs. But that's kind of what it is.
And what we have seen over time over the last couple of years, where it used to be end to end, it used to be east west. Now it is north and south. It is you're going for most of the distance of a regulation UEFA MLS soccer pitch. You're getting these kind of evolutions over time. What has it been like for you and the staff to see the game evolve to where it is now, where you're going almost, you know, end to end, instead of just doing it like a couple of years ago, like the matchup at Red Bulls, where it was side to side, and you're now
it was side to side, exactly. And I mean, what a change!
Yeah,
I mean, watching the progression of the players. Now we're even looking at like long balls and bringing it down the middle, where before, you know, if you're playing quarter pitch or half pitch, you know, there's not really an offsides. They don't have to know that rule. You know, your long balls and your cross the fields to switch sides isn't as prevalent because the pitch is so much smaller. Now that we're on this huge pitch, it looks just like your regular soccer game. And we play it that way. A lot of the teams also park the bench, as we call it, on us now. Mm-hmm. They put all their partners in the back, and now we got to figure out how are we going to break that down. We've added some speed to the team, so I think you're going to see we're going to start doing a few more long balls to kind of spread it out. And then if we can do that, then we can drive down the middle and also maybe send some of our partners to the side to do some crosses. So we've got some things to look at, which is great. You know, it's much more strategy than if you're on a half a pitch, because on a half a pitch, you can't do a lot of those plays. So it's been great. And watching the other teams do it too, because there's a number of teams just like us who have started at like a 5v5 or a 7v7 and have now progressed to the 11v11 full pitch. We love the full pitch when we can. A couple of the teams pull it into the 18s, but then it's still the full width. So it's, you know, as close as it can get.
What was recruiting season like for you with tryouts and everything? How many folks turned up, and what was it like to assemble the 26 squad this year?
Well, the interesting part was we actually had to cancel it because it was on, what was it, November last year. Remember that day that it was like, what was it, like 10 degrees or something?
Yes.
That was tryout day outside starting at 6:30 at night. So to start with, we had to change it. So then of course, the next day we did it as close as we could. Was still another super cold night, but we were able to make it work. It's pretty exciting to see kids from that are trying out from places that I don't know, which is wonderful. That means the word's getting out about the program and about Unified, not just through the same, I'll call it not feeder, but the same groups that already know about it. So we had a couple partners and a couple players trying out from teams that we have never seen before, which was great. So that was an awesome, and some of them made the team. So we have a change of about four players this year and a little bit of a larger squad.
How big is the squad this year compared to years previous?
22 versus 20. Okay. So we added one extra player and one extra partner.
Okay. It's been fun to see the team evolve over time, to see the game evolve over time. When it comes to, you mentioned parking the bench. I mean, when you are like the number one team, you're like Top Gun, man, when it comes to Major League Soccer. And
I don't know about that, but I'll take the compliment.
I mean, everybody. I mean, do you remember when we were growing up? And I think it's safe to say that you and I are contemporaries, although I'm probably about 108 years old.
I'm about 106, so don't worry about it.
So do you remember the old commercial when we were growing up where Robert Conrad had the battery on his shoulder? You know, I dare you to knock it off.
Oh, yes.
So that's kind of, it's like when you're number one, everybody's gunning for you and they're trying to take that battery and knock it off your shoulder. When you're trying to coach and teach and have the Unified players enjoy, now they're going up against bench parking, and it's another aspect of the game I don't think they necessarily anticipated, but because of success that Atlanta United has now with reputation and everything, you're now getting people parking benches on you. I mean, that's like rare air, man. What's that like to handle?
The first time they did it, we were like, we didn't know. As coaches too, we were really surprised, and we're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? How are we going to beat this? And then luckily our partners, who are great stewards of the game, they come to us and say, hey, we need to try this. And we will always listen to them. If they have an idea, you know, they're on the pitch. They know it just as well as we do. You know, we're watching it from the sidelines. They're in it. We will take their advice and always at least give it a try. But Nashville parked the bus in a big way last year. It was, I mean, I'm like, what are we going to do? We finally got a couple goals, but it took us all match until we broke it. So we're actually working on down the middle, down the sides, and long. We don't have a lot of time this year because we only have like five practices already.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, we have a match, early May. Mm-hmm. And we started late because World Cup and games and things like that. So yeah, we're going to be under the gun our first match, let me tell you, against LA.
Yeah, and it's four matches this year. It is the matchup at home against LA. Then you go on the road to take on Philly and Miami. Now, are you going to be in the new stadium in Miami? Do you know that yet?
I don't know. It's funny. I go to Miami for my other job a fair amount. I looked at the stadium a month before it's open, and I'm like, I don't know how they're going to make it. So I'm hoping that it's open. I'm assuming it is. I hadn't heard anything. But I'm telling you that GC had to be working 24/7 the last month
and
before the season opened.
Yeah,
I mean, it had to be just insane.
And they're rolling that thing out now, and so it's going to be – it's going to be fun. So let's say that we hope you get to be in the new stadium. And
I would think so. I mean, Miami's pretty good. When we played them before, I'm trying to think, we haven't played them there though. We've only played them here. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine that we'll be in the stadium. I'd be surprised if we're not, but we don't know for sure. Actually, Lena was talking to us yesterday. She hasn't heard exactly how all that's working out, but we're hoping.
Okay, and then you go from those two, then you finish up at home against Chicago, I think the week before Halloween.
Yes, and very late this year. Very late.
It is. So it's May 9th at home against LAG. Then you have August 1st in Philly, September 5th in Miami, and then the week before Halloween against Chicago. I mean, you only five practices before you have to play LAG at Mercedes-Benz, huh?
Yeah, it was just the way it worked out this year with all the clubs, because the training ground gets used by other clubs. So, like, you know, the U.S. men's team was up there practicing and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of kept us out a little bit, but we'll survive. We'll probably add, we were talking about it last night, adding a couple practices in. Get a couple extra, and I've given them some running. So they've got some homework to do in between practices, you know, little fitness work. So
2 weeks ago, it was signing day, and now you're like 5 weeks away from your season opener here.
You know, Super close. I don't think we've ever had one this close.
And it's really cool to see how the 17s have embraced the unified team as well, because, I mean, the crowds for the home matches – over the last couple of years, it's been great to see thousands of folks stay from the first team match, come over and be behind the benches and be a part of the cheering section for the unified games. I just think that that's a really cool aspect of this too. The 17s stay and they root you on, because you're Atlanta United, man. We're staying and we're watching.
They are so loud. I mean, I don't think you go to any other stadium, they don't have the 17s stay like we do here. There's just the supporters are amazing here. And you're right. And I think we probably have the biggest crowds when we play compared to other stadiums. I can't think of any other one that's had as many. What about you?
No, I honestly, from all the times that we've either gone or been calling the games remotely or what have you, no, it literally is like the largest crowds we've seen have been the ones at Mercedes-Benz for your squad. And it's been really cool to see. It's a great byproduct of all of this, embracing the unified team as a part of the larger umbrella. If you're Atlanta United, you're five stripes, we're with you, and we're going to come and root for the whole thing. So,
and also, we're the only ones who put the games on live, which is just another great aspect that, you know, the Atlanta live streams the game so everybody can see it. I think we're the only ones who do it. I mean, it's a great ad. It keeps everybody interested. And the other part is the only negative part is everybody can watch our tapes from all the years past and see what we do.
I was going to ask, are you going to get any tape on LAG before they come over on May the 9th?
Nobody. We're the only ones. Nobody else does any of that I know of. As far as I know, we're the only club that puts their games on live for everyone to watch. So,
and it is a hot ticket. Thank you for coming in. I know that we're trying to grab you in between your real gig and everything for Atlanta United Unified. First match about 6 weeks away. LAG coming to town on May the 9th. The first team, and then after it's going to be the Unified. Marty, it's always great to see you. And we can't wait for the season to start and for the big dogs when it comes to MLS Unified to take another great season, more great strides. Thanks for dropping by, as you always do, my friend. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you. Don't be a stranger. Come watch the game.
You know,
the athlete. The one's earning it, not me. I'm just there, like, guiding them along.
Yeah, and I'm the one that sticks the microphone in your face after, like, timeouts and everything. And you're sitting there going, oh, God, here comes Nelson. What's he going to ask now?
But never bad. It's always awesome.
Always good to see you, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. There goes Marty Jelmy, the head coach of the Unified team. That's always fun because, look, the Atlanta United Unified team, there's a zero in that WL&T column. One of those columns got a zero to it, and that's why I meant the comment about the battery and everybody trying to knock it off. Because I mean, right now, you're talking about a team that losing is not a part of the glossary, and it's fun to see. You know, aside from the fact that they're one of the top teams in Unified in Major League Soccer, and the top teams in Unified, that you get to go to Genuine World Cup and you get to challenge yourself against the world when it comes to the sport, that you're having the successes you are on the field, yes. But at the same time that you're an integral part of the Atlanta United fabric, that to me is just as cool in all of this, is that they are, you know, it's Atlanta United first team, second team, academy, Unified, all in a row. You're a part of it. You've got Atlanta United on the front. You're a part of it. And Abby, to your point about the 17s and being there to root on Atlanta United's Unified squad. First off, for me to be on the sidelines, it's been a hoot. It has been an absolute hoot to see the first team players, you know, with Brad Gazan being a part of it, you had Jay Fortune and Matt Edwards was there. Will Riley, I think, was there when we were doing games. But to see the first team players come out, be there as absolute cheerleaders for the whole thing and see how they're just as supportive and they're there acting as coaches and cheerleaders the entire time. And but yeah, so 17, you guys are top notch supporting the unified team as much as you are. And yeah, Marty makes a point. Everybody else that they're going up against, they don't have tape. For Atlanta United's unified team, they got tape. So everybody is learning about Atlanta United's unified. And the fact that Marty seems to have added speed this year, and it looks like they might be bombing it long at times down the wings. So you're going to have speed on turf. It might be the fastest. It might be the fastest show on turf this season with Atlanta United's unified team. That's always fun to catch up with Marty and see what's going on. But yeah, May the 9th is the first unified match. So May the 9th is the first unified match of the season. They expanded the roster by two. And so it's May the 9th at home against LAG, Saturday, August 1st in Philly, Saturday, September 5th in Miami at the new stadium. And then wrapping up the season, it is October 24th at home against Chicago. So those are your four matchups this season for Atlanta United Unified, and signing day back on March the 16th. So articles up from our friend Adam Jasper over at atlutd.com. As always, great to catch up with Coach and find out what's going on when it comes to the unified team. One of the teams that is being gunned at, they are really one of the top teams in Major League Soccer, and we hope that it gets to the day where all of the programs in Major League Soccer have their own unified program. So you could have your own MLS Cup and have it be an MLS Unified Cup. That's one of the visions that I think we all have down the line when it comes to the unified programs and Major League Soccer. But when you look at the model program that is being put there by Atlanta United, it's always fun to see how things are growing and how the team continues to be one of the top teams in MLS. Thanks to Marty Jellamy, the head coach of the unified team. Thanks to Rob Valentino, now the head coach of the U-20s for the U.S. men's national team. And thanks to our friend Chris Doran, play-by-play voice of the Columbus Crew, as they get ready to take on Atlanta United this weekend in Major League Soccer. And thanks to all of you for hanging out with us. However you access us, large device or small, access us in whole or in part Monday through Friday across the SDH network. Once again, like, friend, be a part of the conversation, and follow us at all of your favorite social medias where Soccer Down Here can be found. And don't forget to set your notifications for when the new programming comes around for Atlanta United on the SDH network and for the rest of all of our soccer coverage. For everybody here at SDH, for Nick, for Vanessa, for Maddie, for Sophia, for Jarrett, for Jason, I'm just John. Thanks for dropping by, as you always do. That's the best of SDH, and play it safe, everybody. We'll catch up with you next time.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, if you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet Reliant 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.